Let us pray. O Lord God, who in a time of reviving in thy church, didst graciously kindle again the light of thy saving word, and let the light of the knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ, shine in our hearts. Grant that we may always follow this blessed light, and also adorn the pure teaching of thy word with holiness of life and conversation. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen.
Our agenda for this time together is worship. The occasion is Reformation Day, and our worship leaders are two most gifted and talented persons. Dr. Jonathan Lindsay, a native of Georgia, holds a BA from George Washington University and a BD and PhD from Southern Seminary. He's been pastor of Marion Junction Baptist Church in Alabama and a staff member at First Baptist Church Clarendon in Arlington, Virginia, and First Baptist Church Washington, D.C. He has been the chairman of the Department of Religion at Judson College and is presently head librarian at Carlisle Campbell Library at Meredith College. He is married to Annette Lauer of Louisiana, and they have one daughter. And you may have noted in yesterday's paper that there's an interview with Dr. Lindsay because he interviewed the Pope, the present Pope, several years ago in Poland. Introducing Mary Ruth Crook is difficult for me because I could spend many paragraphs telling you about the warmth and the joy her life sheds on all the persons that she meets. But she is a graduate of Florida State University with a degree in English and drama, also of Southern Seminary with a Master's of Religious Education degree. She is presently chairman of the Department of English and Drama at Cary High School. Her interests are broad as she is a world traveler. She has served as chairman of the Board of Deacons of her church and has led several worship workshops. She is married to Roger Crook, and they are parents of six sons. We look forward to your guidance in this worship service, and we also look forward to your guidance in the worship workshop, which will be here on campus next Monday from 4:30 to 8:30, sponsored by the Chapel Committee. Dr. Lindsay and Mrs. Crook will be leading in that worship workshop, and we invite all students, faculty, and staff to share with us on that occasion. We welcome the two of you to Southeastern Seminary, and we pray God's presence and guidance to us as we continue in worship.
On this Reformation Day, October 31st, 1978, the Old Testament lesson is selected from Jeremiah and from the Lamentations. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. My people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth? Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look and take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man, one who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, amend your ways and doings, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and doings, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Return, faithless Israel, says the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Return, O faithless sons. I will heal your faithlessness. The Lord is in the right, for I have rebelled against his word. Behold, we come to thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly, in the Lord God is the salvation of Israel. Jerusalem sinned grievously, therefore she became filthy. All who honored her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. The Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. But the Lord will not cast off forever, for though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve the sons of men. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and thou hast not forgiven. Remember my affliction and my bitterness, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him.
The New Testament lesson is from Romans, the first chapter. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who has faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. Your emphasis in worship this month has been on developing the spiritual life. We have chosen as our prayers, and hopefully your prayers this day, to use the words of the reformers themselves. At the appropriate time when I direct you to the unison prayer, I will ask that we do pray in unison. Let us pray. Hear, O Lord, our prayer of thanksgiving in the words of thy servant, Luther. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we know that we are dear children of thine, and that thou art our beloved Father, not because we deserve it, nor even could merit it, but because our dear Lord, thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, wills to be our brother, and of his own accord offers and makes this blessing known to us. Since we may consider ourselves his brothers and he regards us as such, thou wilt permit us to become and remain children of thine forever. Amen. Hear our prayer also of confession in the words of thy servant, Calvin. Almighty God, since our minds have so many hidden recesses that nothing is more difficult than thoroughly to purge them from all pretense and lying, grant that we may honestly examine ourselves. Do thou also shine upon us with the light of thy Holy Spirit. May we truly acknowledge our hidden faults and put them far away from us, that thou mayest be our only God. May we offer thee pure and spotless worship and conduct ourselves in a world with a pure conscience. May each of us be so occupied in our duties as to seek our brother's advantage as well as our own. At length, make us partakers of that true glory which thou hast prepared for us in heaven, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear also our petitions in the words of thy servant, Coverdale. We pray in unison. Prepare us, O God, from covetousness and despair, from false hypocrisy, treason, and bloodshed. O lead us not into temptation, and whereas we have sinned, grant us true and faithful repentance, that we may never forget thy goodness and mercy, but immediately cease from sin and serve thee continually until our end. Amen. And also in the words of thy servant, Luther. Behold, Lord, an empty vessel that needs to be filled. My Lord, fill it. I am weak in the faith. Strengthen thou me. I am cold in love. Warm me and make me fervent, that my love may go out to my neighbor. I do not have a strong and firm faith. At times I doubt and am unable to trust thee altogether. O Lord, help me. Strengthen my faith and trust in thee. In thee I have sealed the treasures of all I have. I am poor. Thou art rich and didst come to be merciful to the poor. I am a sinner. Thou art upright. With me there is an abundance of sin. In thee is the fullness of righteousness. Therefore I will remain with thee, of whom I can receive, but to whom I may not give. Amen. And also our petition in the words of thy servant, Melanchthon. O Almighty God, Eternal Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who with thine eternal only begotten Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has created and chosen for thyself an eternal church, who art wise, good, compassionate, a just judge, true, strong, and mighty to accomplish thy good pleasure. We give thee thanks that thou dost gather thy church from the generations of humankind for an eternal inheritance of thine only begotten Son, that thou dost uphold the ministry of the gospel, and in our own day also hast restored the same through faithful servants. We pray with our whole hearts that thou wouldst continue to preserve and govern thy church everywhere, and seal and preserve in us the true, pure teaching as the prophet Isaiah prays for his disciples. Do thou also enkindle our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may truly call upon thee and order and live out our lives according to thy word and will. And finally, our prayer, O Lord, in the words of the English reformers, Almighty God, who has promised to hear the petitions of them that ask in thy Son's name, we beseech thee mercifully to incline thine ears to us that have made now our prayers and supplications unto thee. And grant that those things which we have faithfully asked according to thy will may effectually be obtained to the relief of our necessity and to the setting forth of thy glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing just outside the door of the church at Wittenberg University, where a large crowd has assembled. Perhaps you can hear the murmurings of the people who have come to see this unusual event. It seems that this morning, a sheaf of papers was nailed to the church door here, which serves as a sort of community bulletin board, where those who pass by on their way to services can stop to read the notices. The papers in question contain some 95 theses, which were alleged to have been written by one Dr. Martin Luther, a scholar at this university. It is said that the theses were presented as subjects for debate by scholars, but the people of this ordinarily quiet university town seem to be taking great interest in them. Perhaps we can see what they're all about. Here is a student approaching. I say, sir, can you tell me what this stir is all about?
Can I tell you? I tell you this, sir. These theses by our brother Monk are going to cause a stir in the world. That they are.
And why is this, sir?
Brother Martin has taken to questioning one of the most popular practices of the church. It strikes at the heart of Rome, sir. It does, sir.
Strikes at the heart, you say. How is that? Exactly what is this practice?
Why, it is the practice of selling indulgences, sir. Brother Martin has denied that indulgences have any power to forgive sins.
And what effect do you think Dr. Luther's statements will have on the teachings of the church?
Why, no effect on the church, sir. But Brother Luther stands in dire peril for his soul. One does not question the church, you know.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Here is someone who looks to be a merchant. Pardon me, sir. What is your opinion of Dr. Luther's statements about indulgences?
I think it's about time someone stood up to those hawkers. I'm a businessman myself, and I like to see a good return for my money. This Tetzel goes around saying that when money drops in the box, a soul springs out of purgatory. He's taking bread out of the mouths of babes with his promises of pie in the sky. Whoever this fellow is who says you cannot buy heaven with a coin has my support, though he'll probably burn for it. The church does not like critics.
Thank you for your opinion, sir. Let's see if we can get a little closer to the door. Perhaps we can read some of these theses for ourselves. Pardon me, sir. Pardon me, ma'am. Excuse me, may I just get through here? Ah, yes, now here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible. These words are fantastic and could be devastating. No wonder there is such a reaction. I understand that Dr. Luther is inside the church attending the Mass at this moment. Service is due to be over any minute. Perhaps we can catch him as he comes out. The doors are opening, ladies and gentlemen. The worshipers are coming out. The procession is led by brightly robed priests. Next come the monks in their simple brown robes. The procession is breaking up now. Perhaps we can speak to one of the monks. Pardon me, sir. Could you point out to me the monk known as Brother Martin? Oh, ah, yes. The portly gentleman with the downcast expression. Rather sad. Brother Martin Luther, could you take a few minutes to talk to our audience? Thank you, sir. Now, if you would tell us how these 95 theses came about. Say, thesis number 36, for instance, here, which states, any Christian whatsoever who is truly repentant enjoys plenary remission from penalty and guilt, and this is given him without letters of indulgence. Dr. Luther, there are those who say that this thesis strikes at the heart of Rome. Those 95 theses were simply meant as subjects for debate among scholars of this university. They were in no way meant to undermine the teachings of the church, only to clarify the scripture concerning forgiveness of sin. And what scripture is that, sir? Would you quote it for us? Certainly. It is Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the good news in Jesus Christ. To everyone who has faith, it gives power from God for a right relationship with him. For in it, the goodness of God is made known through faith to our faith. As it is written, he through faith is acceptable to God shall live. Do you mean to say that God's forgiveness is free? Does not the church teach that God looks on sinners with displeasure and requires penance? The scripture also tells us that God has hardened his heart against sin. Surely this notion of free salvation is naturally unreasonable. Is it not against all natural reason that God deserts men, damns them for eternity? He who is said to be of such mercy and goodness? This appears cruel and intolerable in God. I have been driven to the very abyss of despair by it, so that I wished I had never been created. Love God? I hated him. Hated God? This is a heretical statement for a priest to make. When did this feeling come about in your life? It was in my search for a gracious God.
I desired to be certain of God's grace, therefore I entered the monastic life. But instead of certainty, I found even greater doubts. I had been taught to think of God's justice in legal terms. For God to be a just judge must mean that he punishes the guilty. This is not very good news of the gospel. I felt that however blamelessly I lived as a monk, in the sight of God, I was a sinner. It began to dawn on me that this word justice or righteousness may mean something quite different in the Bible, that the word of God may have a different meaning than the traditional interpretation. What then is this word of God, and how shall it be used, since there are so many words of God? The apostle explains that in Romans 1. The word is the gospel of God concerning his Son, who was made flesh, suffered, rose from the dead, and was glorified through the Spirit who sanctifies. For to preach Christ means to feed the soul, to make it righteous, to set it free, and to save it, if it believes the preaching. For faith alone is the saving and efficacious use of the word of God. Romans 10, if thou confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe with thy heart that God hath raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then when you state in Thesis 62 that the true treasure of the church is the holy gospel of the glory and the grace of God, you are saying that the word that God speaks to us is Christ. Now, we must ask one further question, in a way, the most important one. What does God say to us in Christ? What I chiefly hear in the gospel is the word Jesus spoke to the paralytic. Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Forgiveness. Thank you, Dr. Luther. This, ladies and gentlemen, according to Dr. Martin Luther of Wittenberg University, is the heart of the good news. We might say the gospel teaches that we have a gracious God because of what Christ deserved, not what we deserve, provided we believe it. This is the meaning of the mysterious expression, justification by faith only. According to Dr. Luther, God accepts us for Christ's sake. We do not need to earn, only to believe it. Who knows what the effect of what has happened today will have on the future of the church? Dr. Luther, have you thought that you might be called to take leadership in this Reformation? I have many doubts, and I stand before God in fear, and yet with the necessity for making the truth known. Hast thou chosen me for this work? I ask thee how I may be sure of this, if it be thy will, for I have never thought in all my life of undertaking aught against such great lords. Stand by me, O God, in the name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, who shall be my defense and shelter, yea, my mighty fortress. Through the might and strength of thy Holy Spirit, God, help me. Amen.
Father in heaven, you only are holy. We pray that your kingdom of love may be known on earth as it is above. Give us thy food for each day. Forgive us our sins and help us to forgive those who hurt us. We praise and glorify your name now and forever with all the saints. Let all the people proclaim, Amen.